back. This is like being in the army again. Except y'all didn't have anybody saying, give it down and give me 20. Well, we've got some other people in with us now, and I'm very sorry that I didn't get to go over the first part of the presentation with you, but it'll be all right. So, we are on page, let's go back to page 29 where we ended with Rick being parachuted in. Oh, yeah, I did. Yes, thank you. I had the pleasure to sit with some very nice people at lunch, and during the lunch I like to ask people, well, what did you think about the song, and what did you think about this, and, you know, I appreciate so much your feedback. And one of the subjects came up was about Amsterdam and the red light district. And I guess I just assumed, which means I really should go back and clarify, the senior I was talking about were senior groups, senior citizens. Oh, how could that be? This was not my grandmother, guys. You know what that tells me? It tells me all that opportunity that I possibly had to talk to them that I didn't at that time. They're gone now. Yes, ma'am.
Also, you were reminded again that Amsterdam is not just a red
light. Absolutely. Absolutely. Amsterdam, along with most parts of Europe, is absolutely beautiful. I love Europe. Yeah, yes. And it was even beautiful when I was there 15 years ago or 10 years ago. It was beautiful. So thank you for helping me with that. Seriously. Okay. So we're going to... Let's see how I'm going to jump here. I think what we need to do after that lunch is look, run around a little bit. So... I need help. And now the big question is, why did she want our shoe sizes? So, in 2005, when you read book 3, which is Drinking of Grace, you will learn that the Lord took me from a job where I was making very, very, very good money, guys. Per person, probably people would pay $4,000 to $20,000 per person for a trip. And he put me into a business where an hour of service cost $16.50. I couldn't figure it out. I really couldn't. It was like, how am I supposed to go from $750,000 in debt? We didn't get there yet, did we?
No.
How am I supposed to pay that off? Trust me. Trust me. We'll come to that. I need a size 6 standing up here. Size 6? Anybody size 6? Here we go. I've got one already. A size 7? Need a size 7. A size 8?
Go.
I need a size 9.
Boom.
And I need a size 10. Oh, do I have too many? Okay, who's 6?
6.
6, 7, 8, 9?
Here.
Okay,
keep her.
Yeah. 9. Thank you for being gracious. No. Do I need any more distractions? 10, size 10. Okay, all right. So here's the thing, guys. You'll notice he's behind me. Size, Samantha? 6? Yeah, 6. 9, 8, 7, and 10. All right, here we go. Now, in my business in which the Lord blessed me with in 2005, started out with 2 employees. And you ever heard teamwork?
Yeah.
You ever heard of working with a bunch of women is like herding cats?
Yeah.
So I once a week did meetings to motivate them and to remind them why we're in the business that we're in. And at one of the meetings, we had problems where people could not understand other people's positions within the company. And so I said, well, I tell you what, why don't you go down there and walk in that person's shoes? And most of the time when I did that after 3 days, and I made them go for 3 days because you don't get it in a day, they'd come back and they'd say, I'm so sorry. Can I go back to my job? Many, many times when we try to walk in someone else's shoes, we realize we should never have said anything. So, this is going to take teamwork, which means I need you all to help your teammates find their match. And it's somewhere in this room, underneath a chair or a table. You have exactly 2 minutes. Go. Help your teammates. You're going to have to talk. You're going to have to communicate. Schedulers. Find your match. Come back up here. Come back up here. Who's got it?
No. I've got a 6 in my hand.
He thought we had to find other people that had size 8, so I went around and gathered all the people that had size 8.
That didn't help a bit.
Yeah, don't worry about it. We're coming to that. Very good. Very good observation. Gracious. Okay, do you have your match? Stand right here. You got your match. Oh, y'all stress me. Confusion. Communication. Okay, here we go. Now, the 5 of you, make sure you have the right shoes that go in the right box that says the right size on them.
Sixes.
Good. Because your box says 6.
That's right.
They did it. That's really good. Really good. Now, here's the thing. I could go 100 million directions with this, but we were schedulers, and we had to assign people to go to homes. And so I always believed in the backup for the backup for the backup, and there was constantly giving and constant taking, and there was constant communication. Communication. If you don't have communication, you don't have anything, okay? You have got to be able to communicate with people in your church or people everywhere that might not be your same size. And in fact, you may have to help them find their match. Now, I can automatically tell you who my match is, who I'm married to on this finger. My match is Jesus. Now, I need another size 10 up here standing in front of this size 10. I need another size 7 standing in front of this size 7. I need another 6 in front of this one, another 8, and another... Is that a 9? 9 in front. Stand in front of your partner. Now, I know you worked very hard. You who have your shoes. I know you worked very hard for them, and I'm so proud of you. But now you must give them to the other person. Now go sit down, you who got the shoes. I need you. One person says, I didn't earn them. Wow. What's that about? Grace. Now, the beauty of sharing and giving up something is that you really do normally get something more in return. So not only will you get shoes, you'll get socks. They don't really go with sandals, but I couldn't just give them a shoe. Do you see what I'm saying? We give up something, but the Lord always has something. Something. The Lord always has something better. Remember this. So if you can't see it right now, because you could have seen their faces.
The shoes.
Yeah. And you all were great to help them. And that's what we need to be about. Okay, you can go sit down. Thank you for that. Thank you. Thank them. You're welcome. Okay, we're on page 30. By the end of book 2 and the beginning of book 3, you'll see I was $750,000 in debt. I was married to a pornography, alcoholic, addicted man who, while I worked, took flying lessons and played golf. My Sundays I spent watching him drink himself to death. I'm being honest with you. Sunday, whenever there was football, I dreaded it when they said, we're having Monday night football, we're having Tuesday night football, we're having Friday night football. Not that football's a bad thing. But when it consumes you, when anything consumes you, when you put anything first, guess what that is? That's an idol. I do not know how the Lord brought me out of this. But the more that I searched for the Lord, the more I could see what was around me. I hadn't learned. I told you I made the same mistake. I married another unequally yoked person. I remember when Evangeline said she was reading the second book and she says, oh, I hope she doesn't go there. Oh, no, no, oh, no. She did. I felt ashamed. I should feel ashamed. I should feel totally ashamed about what I did and the decisions that I made. So, first marriage, materialistic. Second one, guilt and entrapment. Do we all remember? No, because you haven't read the book. I think I'm not going to tell you. You'll have to figure out why I really married the second person. Okie dokie. I had to release the tug of war, which is on page 30, and seek first the kingdom of God in all things. In all things. Do you ever have a problem with that? Do you ever have to remind yourself? Do you know that every darn day I get tested? Do you want to know what the recent test was? You're going to think this is just crazy. I was putting together the packets and I ran out of copying paper. And I'm like, well, Frank, my husband, is very conservative and very cost conscious, which is wonderful. Wonderful for me. And I wanted to put everything on one page. In other words, not have you have it on the back page. I just don't like that because the ink bleeds through, bothered me. Well, honey, 24-pound paper will do it. I'm like, okay, that way we'll make less copies. Okay, so I run over to Office Depot, and I, you know me, I'm a little bit fast. And so I go to the shelf and I'm throwing in the paper that I put together the packets with, and I get up to the counter and I hand it to him, and he says $7.99, and I went, okay. And I said, oh, by the way, this is wrong. These are 20-pound papers. I need to go back and get 24-pound papers. Tested all the time. $7 versus $12. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 5 times 5 is $25. Big difference, huh? Now, these are the little things. These are the little things. The guy didn't care. I made him cancel out the whole thing and re-ring it up. This is what we have to be about with people, with everything. Going through the drive-thru, somebody hands you a bag of French fries. That little girl there who might not be saved working the window says, well, I'll just give it to you today. No, no, it's not yours to give. This is where it starts. The little things. So, when you start in the little things, and I learned this in my business. I did everything that I thought I was supposed to do by the book. Everything. I was, the business changed my life. I found, one day I woke up and I had 6 offices and 1,500 employees. And I didn't do it. It's very important that you know that I did not do it. Till the day I die, the Lord will get credit for that business. He built that business. He built that on such a foundation that when the business reached six million, we ended up selling it. You'll have to read book 3. And now that company today is probably worth $17 million. I'm telling you all of this for a reason. Before book 3, there was a tug of war going on, as we've all experienced me go through, which of those of you who missed it. I think it was Billy Graham's daughter who wrote a book, Jesus is the Answer. Right? He is the answer. So, we're on page 31. There were no more secrets in drinking of grace in book 3. Guys, 2003 to 2012. In 2007, I thought I had arrived. You know what that means? I thought, gosh, I am walking the Christian life and I love the Lord with all my heart. And I did, and I do. But there was this little person that I did not discover until later on, called Mrs. Behemoth. You know who she is? She's in Job.
Yeah.
Page 39 or 40, or chapter 39 or 40. You know what she is? Pride. Pride. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I. Oof. Isn't the Lord great about getting our attention when it's about I? I wanted everybody to know about the Lord. And I saw lives changed in that business. And if I had to go back and do anything different, I wouldn't change a thing. Jesus was the answer to every problem we faced, to every dilemma that came our way. Our competition couldn't figure out, wow, how? Because we loved our employees. They were more important than anything else. I saw people and gave people second chances because guess who had had a million second chances? 70 times 7. I had young girls come in to work for me, age 21, 22, who no one else would hire because she had a medical family disturbance back when she was 18. Some guy and her got in a squabble and the police came. And it was on record. And nobody would give her a chance. We're not talking about a felony here. We're talking about people that we could so easily judge. And I don't blame you for judging me. I mean, it's not biblical. We're not supposed to judge others. But I judge myself. I don't feel very good about myself most days. I need you to know that. These girls didn't feel very good about themselves. The guys who came to work for us didn't feel very good about themselves. It was like, wow, she's given me a chance. And you know what I saw when I gave these people a chance? Something amazing. They started getting everything. Work, they were my best employees. And just think if I hadn't given them a chance. I know someone in this room who's got a blind side. Anybody seen that? I'm not going to say who it is, but she's got a blind side thing going on. I think it's amazing she took somebody into her home. What if we did that? What if we were just more open and giving? I should really put my foot in my mouth here because Rick asked me if I would house a missionary and I said, do I have to feed him? I'm not really a good cook, but I'll try. Okay, I'll go change the sheets and I'll dust. Oh. Jesus is the answer. Humor me as I play you another video because I had to release everything to him. Everything. And that's what you have to do. Here we go. You like music? Thank you. Page 32.
I got everything right, if I believed upon the Lord, if I did everything He told me to do, if I was faithful, I never thought in the world I would be an unforgiving person. But I had worked so hard, which is why you need to understand book 1 and 2 to understand book 3. When I got everything right, when I did everything I was supposed to do, it wasn't about me. For 2.5 years, I call it my time in the convent in 2010. I hardly left my home. I studied the Word. I prayed. I cried. The man that bought my business, the Whole Food Company, told me straight to my face he never intended to pay me. And in the contract, he was smarter than I was. Wow, someone like me, confronted with my past. What goes around comes around. Why would the Lord give me something and then take it away from me? Oh gosh, guys, money. Money. I fought Satan every day. Every day. And I fell down. And I didn't even get it. I had been wronged. Have you ever been wronged? Have we ever wronged the Lord? I'm not going to play you this video because we just played this one. But there is an incredible video by Bob Carlyle called We Fall Down. We fall down and we get up. It just took me a lot longer. I struggled. Was I going to let pride get in the way of the cross and what had been done for me? Did I care nothing about what had been done for me? Was I so great that I couldn't forgive someone, even at the tune of $7 million? I'm not lying. Do you understand? I don't even care now. It's a mute point. In James, this is funny, he says, count it all joy. Really? Easy to say, harder to apply, right? Page 34. I'd have to apply the greatest gift I'd ever been given called forgiveness. And again, pride almost undercut the cross. Have any of you ever experienced pride? Let's go to page 35. Pride at its finest is when you can see only your reflection and not that of the Lord's. When you look in the mirror and all you see is, I'm so great, I'm so great. My daughter was in voice lessons and she would sing, me, 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 me. And I'm like, yep, you. It's all about you. I just said to Frank day before yesterday, it's all about Frank. You know, Satan works in an amazing way. He gave me a bite trying to get me not to come to this presentation. And my husband knew I had the presentation. And on Friday, he comes home and he says, oh, by the way, I'm putting the truck, which I have to haul everything in the shop on Monday. He can even use your spouse. He can use me. He can use anybody. He can use your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, anyone. If you're not being controlled by the Holy Spirit that lives inside you. This is why the tug of war. We fight it all the time. I know we fight it in the churches. I know we fight it everywhere. You're not going to like page 36. 36. I had to walk by faith while I was in the convent, which was the basement of my home. I remember coming back to church and somebody said, well, you doing okay? And I said, well, I'm tired of being quiet. I'm ready to speak. Trusting in God knew that He was doing what He wanted to do. And surrendering is sometimes very difficult. Because guess what? We know what we're doing. We want to take control. And I should have known from my past that every time I tried to take control, it never worked. Did it? But every time I had put the Lord first, he blessed me over and over and over again. This picture is Emma right here, me. And this is Satan. I could lie to you, tell you that's not what he looks like, but he does. This guy right here is Frank going, "Who's going to win? Who's going to win?" That's my husband, because he put up with me during this whole time. And my parents, I became a doomsday prepper, did I tell you? I need your prayers. This right here is my mother going, "What now?" I'm convinced that at the end of 2012, not that I'm a new Christian, but I can honestly tell you that I was reborn. Something happened. There is nothing more important to me now, and I may have lost my mission field in one business, but the Lord said, I have a whole new mission field for you. It's called the whole world, Diane. Not just this little area. Not the state of Tennessee. The whole world. We'll skip page 37 because that's books 4 and 5 and that's where I get really into Matthew. Henry? I shouldn't have gone there. I'm no theologian. But I loved writing it. Conquering faith. The reason that you see Emma here today, again, is because of faithful people like you all. I want you to be encouraged. I was afraid, well, they're not going to be encouraged once they hear me. They're going to be depressed. There's millions of me out there. And they're all ages, young and old. They're being born every day. Somewhere along the way, I became political. But I'm not going to go there, I promise, eventually. If I have experienced these things and I have learned them, do I not have a voice? What happened to us that we don't have a voice, my fellow Christian sisters? What happened to us that let's don't hurt our little world right here by speaking out and saying what we believe, what we know that people need to hear. Even if they don't hear us, it would be worse not to try. Right? On one side, I have a battlefield, right? And there are the okays and there are the not okays. And they're fierce. They try to trap me. I couldn't find a big net, but I thought this one was really cute. I'm now a Toys R Us fan. Okay. On some days, they're worse than others. Since I'm a writer, I started writing. One day, my pastor says to me, "Diane, you're a writer." I'm like, "What? I'm a writer? I'm a writer. I have a voice. It's the way I can express myself. Mama told me I write like I talk." I'm going to say what's on my mind. I don't want people to make the same mistakes that I've made. And I want to tell them, I believe in this. I recently called up two friends that were from my past that were gay. And we never discussed it. Never, ever would I discuss it. I just tried to witness to them. And out of the blue, I received a phone call. And I, before he could even say anything, because we hadn't talked in a while, I said, "I just need to tell you where I stand." And he listened. And I said, "Have you ever read the Bible?" "No." "Have you ever read Pilgrim's Progress? Let me send you the children's version that they just came out with, which, by the way, is absolutely amazing. I just picked it up at a conference, the PCA conference, yes, in Greenville. And I have to tell you that I am 51, well, I'll be 51 this year, and I couldn't put it down, and it's a children's book. And it made me realize that just as we process things differently, sometimes we write differently. And there's a way to get through to people. And for many, many years, I just stood there listening, not doing anything. I don't have any more time. People, we're running out of time. Every day, today while it's still today, we need to make a difference. There's millions of lost souls. Are you afraid to speak to someone that you don't even know? Well, tell me about your relationship with the Lord. I just had people in from Virginia Beach for 3 days. Served them for 3 days. Served them for 3 days. I got bitten. I mean, and I thought, you know what? This is my opportunity now that I know that I have to tell them what I know. And I didn't have to force it on them. They came and said, "What's happened? You seem so different." You see, you know transformation. You don't do the things you used to do. You don't think the things you used to think. Well, I'm going to say there are times that I have to go, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan, for that thought." You may be tired, as I told you. You may be discouraged. You may have forgotten the reason, which I don't think you have. But I will tell you, if you get so busy, and so caught up in your circumstances, and if you think you stand, the chances are you're just getting ready to fall. This is why I got you all highlighters. I just haven't passed them out yet because I didn't want you to highlight my packets. But you can take these home and pass them around. And I highlight in my Bible the verses. I know a lot of people don't write in their Bibles, but I do. I write down the date. I write down because I need to go back and I need to look. Well, gosh, I don't go anywhere without this. Very rare. How many of you, and I'm going to ask you this, because I'll ask my little kids, yes, they let me teach Sunday school. Go figure. I asked them, I said, "Well, how many of you read your Bible?" What happened with Emma when she was little? She never read this book. She listened. She sat in the pew. She heard the sermons. She walked out feeling good. I don't remember if I felt good. In fact, I dreaded it. But if I'd have had this word, if somehow I could have gotten this word, and it's no fault of anybody's but my own, I don't blame my parents. Again, I have the best parents in the world. But if you're not in this word, and I will preach this, and if I die tomorrow, remember it. Read this book all the time. It will speak to you on all the time, in many occasions. And then no matter what, try and get it in somebody else's hands. If I could pay people to read this Bible, I would. I don't think it's allowed. However, I did used to pay them. I did used to pay them to run because I cared about their health. So if they would walk a mile a day, I'd pay them $1. I cared about them. What happened in 2010, and I'm really skipping around here. Page 38, the come on overs, the let's try it, it won't hurt you, or to look, the forget about it, the live like there are no tomorrows, the me's as we discussed, and the you deserves it. You deserve it. My mother said this to me, I deserve it. I'm like, no, you don't. No, you don't. See, I think I've now even been put in my parents' pathway for a reason. Watch out, parents, when the Lord gets a hold of your child. Deception has become like oxygen. And unless you're aware of it, you cannot fight it. Unless you call it by its name, you will be part of it and caught up in it. the only way you can fight it is the way that David did with his slingshot, but you know what he had behind it, right? Faith and trust. She's pushing me out. It's okay. Well, guys, I hope you'll come back tomorrow. And I hope that we can continue on for the time that I have tomorrow. I appreciate you, and I thank you, and I respect you. Thank you. Oh. You can go now.